Welcome to episode 199 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. And we're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics. So if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Sandy, Laura, and Elizabeth. Port Canaveral is perched on the eastern seaboard midway through the state of Florida. Its proximity to the attractions in central Florida, as well as its bustling cruise port, make it an enticing option for those looking for a few days at the beach or cruisers who don't want to head all the way to southern Florida.
Or California, for that matter.
Not California. Royal Caribbean, Disney, Carnival, and Norwegian all have ships that call Port Canaveral their home. And since we always recommend arriving early for your cruise, we wanted to give you some tips on what to do once you're there, or entice you to visit and stay there. So let's get started. So actually, the Port Canaveral is known as the Space Coast because it has Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite things about cruising out of Port Canaveral is that ability to go to Kennedy Space Center. You can do it before your cruise, or actually I like to do it right after a cruise because you get off the ship so early that you get there pretty much for park opening and then just stay an extra night and do the Space Center.
How much time do you take to do the Space Center?
I would allow at least 5 or 6 hours. So we've done it twice, and the first time we did it, we didn't do any of the special tours like that take you way into the back and you know all that. Now I heard that they just dismantled one of the big launch buildings that used to be there. They had like these huge hangars, and I think they just took that one down. But they'll drive you. That is the one place in Florida where I've seen an alligator. He knew exactly where it was going to be, so I don't really count it. It was in their like waterways or whatever. And he was about like 3 feet long. He wasn't very impressive either. I was like, that's just a baby alligator. I don't count that one because he knew exactly. He was like, that alligator is always there. I was like, well, that doesn't count. That's like, that's a predictable wild alligator.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I don't think that's not a wild alligator. That's an alligator.
Like those predictable.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I digress. So the first time we didn't allow enough time, I don't think. And we basically didn't want to do any of the special tours because one, we didn't know how long, you know, it was going to take to go through. And then we didn't want to be late for the ship, getting back. And so we just didn't allow enough time. So the second time we did it, we allowed enough time and we did one of the, they call them VIP tours, but they're really just bus tours that take you back. So there's sort of the theme parky museum area, but then you can actually take one of the NASA buses led by a guide, and he'll drive you back into the back where the launch pads and everything are, and he'll show you around. And depending on the day and what's going on, they can show you more or less. So we were really fortunate because we went on a launch day and got there early enough that we could get into the back because at like 1 o'clock they closed it off. And then we got back on our ship. Because it was actually a cruise stop for us for that one. We got back on our ship and we watched a rocket launch. That was awesome. Yeah. So
I've seen a rocket launch from Epcot before.
One of the things you can also do is you can have lunch with an astronaut so they can tell you about their experience in space.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. It's an extra fee.
Yeah, you can have lunch with them or you can just meet with them. There's a couple of tours where it's just part of it.
Yep. So it's a really neat area to go see.
Yep. And it is still working. I mean, even though I just mentioned they tore down a big launch pad, SpaceX is still working out of there, and they do launches fairly regularly.
Is SpaceX the one that's trying, that has, like, relanded the same?
Yeah, that's Elon. It's okay. Elon Musk. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I know. My husband always wants to go there, and I'm always like, really? Why?
It's really fun.
I went when I was 12, and it was okay. I mean, no, I didn't really love it.
You can get astronaut ice cream. I said that exactly
well,
the same.
There's a picture of me like standing next to an astronaut, and yeah, that's like all I remember. That and that when we were driving there on one of the roads that was like a long road of swamp.
You saw an alligator?
No, a bee flew into our car and stung either me or my brother. I can't even remember which one of us got stung. We had to turn around and go back to find a store and get, like, bee sting stuff, and, yeah.
That's random.
Well, my brother had really bad sunburn, too.
I think he's been traumatized. Yeah. Donna and I have had an excellent time at Kennedy's.
That was the trip from hell. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, to me, that's sort of the key thing to do in Cocoa Beach. I think it's the highlight of that area, personally. And, it, you know, I would do it if...
Not the Ron John Sports Shop?
Not so much.
No.
So, Cocoa Beach makes me think of I Dream of Jeannie.
Right. Which had to do with the Kennedy Space Center. That's where he worked. Yeah. There's an Air Force Base there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he was an astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. See,
just remember it was
you like it better than you thought.
Yeah. It is a cool area, though. It's pretty cool. I mean, shops and hotels and restaurants and stuff going on. So,
yeah. So I think the important thing for Kennedy Space Center is because it is kind of a theme park, you need to be sure you allow enough time. It's a small, you know, it's more of an edutainment kind of thing, but you want to allow a few hours for that. So I would not suggest going there in the morning because I think they open, if I'm not mistaken, at 10 o'clock, although it might be 9. And then you'll want to be at your ship at around 12. So it's not really, the price of admission is kind of high for just a couple of hours there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would plan the whole day and then, you know, have a leisurely dinner or go to the beach in the evening. You don't want to really be rushed.
Right. So it's basically adding an extra day to your trip. You know, go 2 nights early and then spend that day before. Or what I suggested before, when you get off the ship, if you have a lot of time to kill before your flight or you want to stay, you know, that's another thing. So if the ship gets back on a Saturday, then it's pretty easy to stay till Sunday and then fly or drive back on Sunday and enjoy Kennedy Space Center during the day on Saturday.
That's another thing that's worth mentioning is like if you're at a, you know, you're on a Disney vacation or something and you want to have a couple beach days, it's less than an hour to drive to Kennedy Beach, you know, and it's a really easy drive, straight highway. So you can go do a couple days at the beach and then fly out of MCO.
Yep.
Yeah.
Though it is worth mentioning, they do not have a ton of oceanfront resorts at Cocoa
Beach.
It's
kind of Barrier Island-esque.
Yeah,
there's only one that's actually oceanfront, and that's the Hilton.
Yeah. I think there are a couple others. We just didn't talk to them that night that we had a training, but there aren't many. And because I think the Residence Inn
is
also...
There are dunes.
Go ahead.
That you can walk out to the beach. You're not really looking on the beach. You're looking at the dunes, and then you have to cross the dunes to get to the beach area with a couple of them. So
that's fair.
But there's some neat excursion-y stuff there. There's a surfing school, and there's a kayak, like a kayak tour where you can kayak with the manatees, and so there's some neat. There's some neat options before or after a cruise to do there. Mm-hmm. The zoo does that too. It's the only zoo in the U.S. that actually you kayak through the exhibits.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's in Titusville, right? Am I wrong?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, so that's an important thing too. If you have a cruise stop, because we talked about some cruise ships calling the port home, so you start and or end there, but you start and end there. But there are a couple of cruises that will stop in Port Canaveral. And a lot of people think, oh, I'll do a day trip to Universal or a day trip to Disney. And although we would never not recommend going to those parks because they're wonderful parks and we love them, it's an hour there and an hour back. You probably, to get back for your ship, you will not be able to see the fireworks at night. You might not even be there during the evening. You have nowhere to go cool off if it's really hot. You don't have a resort to go back to or anything. You got to go sit in the Hall of Presidents for a couple of shows to
cool
off.
You have no advanced planning.
Yep. And for half the price, you can go to Kennedy Space Center or you can actually stay around or go to the zoo and you can stay around.
Or tons of nature stuff too. I mean, there's state parks there and things like Donna was saying. Was it Donna or Laura was saying kayaking, but all kinds of stuff like that. So,
outdoor activities are a big thing in that area.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. And they have bike rentals, right?
And the hotels are reasonable. So if you're planning on doing a cruise or you're planning on doing a stop on your way down to, say, the Port of Miami or you're going down to the Keys or something, Port Canaveral is a great just stopover place. Hotels are reasonable. They're nice.
It's and you're going to see, you're going to get to go to the beach. Mm-hmm. And there are, of course, some great beach bars, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And then, and you mentioned Ron John's surf shop. So mm-hmm. if you suddenly remember that you don't have a bathing suit, or what happens in my family, my daughter tries on all her swimsuits and realizes that she's outgrown them all right before we leave. So you can go down and, I mean, they have a wide range of pricing. It's not Target pricing though. They're nicer swimsuits. They're more expensive, but, all shapes and sizes. So.
Or if you're my daughter that says, I don't have a mask. Yeah. I have to have a mask.
I forgot my goggles. Yeah. Uh-huh. Any of that.
I keep swimming without it.
Yeah, and another thing that's cool that they do at the hotels is like the snooze and cruise package. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of people that do that, that mm-hmm. You know, fly in the night before. And then what they'll do is pick you up from the airport, take you to the hotel, and then you hang out, you know, at the beach or whatever, you do whatever. And then the next morning, they will take you to the ship. And then after your cruise, they'll take you back to the airport.
Yep.
So it's a really good value because you don't have to buy individual transfers for everybody.
Yep. Well, and I will say that some of those, you do have to pay for the transfer. So pay attention to that, because a lot of them will charge between $5 and $10 each way for the transfer. Per person.
Well, yeah, and another thing, it's like a lot of them are good for like four people or two right. people or whatever. So if you have more than that in your group, then because some of the hotels will sleep like six, mm-hmm. but the transfer isn't for that many.
And if you drive down, the parking is actually less expensive to stay at the hotels than it is if mm-hmm. you're staying at Ford.
Right, exactly. Well, especially when you consider you get a hotel night out of it, too, because the hotel may normally charge $120 a night, and it's going to charge you maybe $160 a night. So you pay $40 for parking. But if you're going on a 7-day cruise, mm-hmm. And remember, that's just for one night. You just pay one night the extra $40. Then you're gone for 7 nights. Well, 7 nights at the parking deck is going to be at least $70. And depending on which
deck you go to. I think we paid $70 for 4 nights.
For a 4-night, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, especially if you want to park right at the port. So it's a super convenient way to go. You just need to also, there's a couple of things when you do that. Listen to the instructions for your transfer, because the most common mistake is most of these transfer companies will give you two pieces of paper, one for when you go to the port and one for when you come back. But you've been boozing it up on your cruise and you switched out your purse and you haven't been carrying anything for a week. And then you get out and you're like, wait, what piece of paper? And without that piece of paper, you have to pay again to get back to the hotel. So make sure, you know, and they will tell you, they'll hand it to you, you know, like, guard this with your life. Make sure you know where it is, because this is the only proof you have that you've paid for this transfer. And I see it. I've watched people struggle, you know, yeah. combing through their purse, trying to figure out where they put those transfers. And every driver I've had that's done that has said it's the most common problem they have. Is people come, you know, they're like, please just let me ride with them. And they can't do that because they,
you know, think they would come up with something like they more would electronic. Have a list of who's getting on the transfer.
No, because I think they transport hundreds of people
yeah.
a day when the port's open. And
the ships stagger you when you come off, so you don't really know exactly mm-hmm. what time everybody's getting mm-hmm. off. Yeah. Yeah, for that reason, I like parking at the port. I know it costs more, but I like walking out and getting in my car.
I think it really just depends. We've done it both ways, and when we're driving, we often will just park at the port. We may not even stay in Port Canaveral. We drive down to like Savannah and stay overnight, and then drive down mm-hmm. and park at the port.
Yeah, that's because we are located in North Carolina. So Port Canaveral is nice because it's drivable and it's got great ships that go out of there. Mm-hmm. So it's a really nice option, I think.
And you have more variety of itineraries when you go out of Port Canaveral as opposed to, say, going out of Charleston.
Right,
yeah.
You can do lots more islands and all in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
But you don't have the option if you go out of, say, Baltimore or Charleston or Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, those ports that you just named have one to two or three ships. Baltimore has two or three ships, I think, but Charleston has one and Jacksonville has one. And they might have one or two itineraries that run, but...
But they're kind of identical.
Yeah.
I mean, the Charleston and the Jacksonville ones.
And most people need to go, you know, at a certain week or whatever, so you get what you get. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of choices, whereas Port Canaveral will have several choices going on.
Yeah, so right now, the Oasis of the Seas is the
Port Canaveral.
Yeah, yeah. What class ship? I'm like drawing a blank.
It's the Oasis class.
Oasis class.
Oh my God. Yeah. But it's going to switch to the Harmony next mm-hmm. year, which is the ship. We will be on that ship mm-hmm. for our conference. So you guys are going to get a really in-depth review of the Harmony. So yep. that's exciting.
Yep.
That's
coming there. And then the Mariner is going to be there for a while as well.
Yeah, the Mariner's had some really cool upgrades. Mm-hmm. And that does the shorter cruises, right? Mm-hmm. The Bahamas and stuff. Mm-hmm.
And we just talked the other, a few podcasts ago about the Adventure of the Seas and the advantages to smaller ship cruising, and especially with mm-hmm. Royal Caribbean updating their ships the way that they have, that you can get a lot of bang for your buck with those. Yeah. So the Mariner has some really great options.
And then, you know, Disney is
yeah. It's Disney's yeah. primary port. They do yeah. a little bit out of Miami as well, but, and then, you know, various, like they go to Alaska and all that, but Port Canaveral is where you get most of your choices.
Yeah, they have two ships that are there mm-hmm. all the time. So
3, 4, and 7 night mm-hmm. rotating all the time. Yep, and they have their own, you know, that was the big thing when Disney Cruise Line came out way back in 1998 or whenever that was, 99, 98. They built their own terminal. So they have this huge, very Disney terminal mm-hmm. With Mickey Mouse, hidden Mickeys, or as as Sandy's husband calls them, obvious Mickeys everywhere. So you can immerse yourself in the Disney experience as soon as you get there. And yeah. and Carnival has built a new port there, a new terminal there as well. Mm-hmm. And it's actually very nice and pretty easy to get through. Pretty quickly.
Yeah, Carnival has some big ships out of mm-hmm. there too, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's good because, I mean, Carnival's, it's got kind of a reputation, but their big ships are really fun. Mm-hmm. So I think it's mm-hmm. really cool. And then Norwegian, I got on the Epic there. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun.
And I think the Sky sometimes goes out of there, or has that moved to Tampa completely now? It may have moved.
I don't think Norwegian is there year round. Like, Disney mm-hmm. is and the other ones, but
yeah, the sky's in Tampa right now.
Yeah, the big thing that we didn't say about the Mariner is that it's replacing, I think it was the Rhapsody that was there, which really didn't have a lot of balconies. So it used to be, whichever the ship was that was there was one of the older ships without very yeah. many balconies.
I feel like it was Caribbean. Another one that started with M, but
I thought it was an R, but anyway,
Majesty.
Was it the Majesty?
That's the one I'm thinking of, but I could be wrong.
Well, anyway.
They all blend yes. together. When you're
so that was always sort of a bummer when you're looking at it. It's like, okay, well, this Royal Caribbean ship's going out and they're doing shorter, but it's no balconies. And, yeah, there's no balconies. Yeah. So having the Mariner there as their smaller ship alternative. But by the way, the Oasis is a great option mm-hmm. to go out of.
And the Oasis has got some small, shorter itineraries mm-hmm. sometimes too, so it can be a good value. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you would yeah. think with that many people going through the port that you would have long lines and everything. It honestly moves very, very efficiently. Mm-hmm. You can get in and get on the ship or get off the ship relatively quickly and get through customs. And I have no complaints whatsoever about Port Canaveral.
And go enjoy Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah. There you yeah. go.
It is, even if you're driving there, though. Late flight. It's mm-hmm. easy to get around when you're driving, too. It's
yeah.
Yeah, it's like a piece of cake.
Well, and a lot of those hotels, the Snooze and Cruise hotels, I know the Radisson is, I mean, you could basically roll out of bed right into port. So yeah. they're so close.
But like even Titusville, I think that's like 20 minutes mm-hmm. or, you know, and then there's like the Melbourne area. There's a lot of areas, little areas around there that are kind of unique and mm-hmm. Really cool.
Yeah.
And they've got great beaches.
I think Donna likes the beaches. I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
I'm not a beach person either, but you know what? But for a beach, it's a great beach. Mm-hmm. They're nice, they're clean, they're, you know, the sand looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're well maintained, I think, for sure.
Yes.
So,
yes.
It is the Atlantic side, so it's not quite as pretty as the Gulf side, the beaches on the Gulf side, but.
Wow. But you can't really surf on the Gulf side, so.
True. Good point.
There you go.
Not that I would ever get on a surfboard.
Would you get on a stand up paddleboard?
I've tried.
Yeah.
I would like to, but I can't manage it.
What about those people that like do yoga on this?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Like their dogs sitting on there too. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. That would be cool though. But yeah, I mean, I think I would like to do more of the swampy stuff actually and check out mm-hmm. some of the state parks and mm-hmm. things like that.
Well, Sandy, you and I will just have to go down there, and we'll have to spend an extra, like, 2 days doing fun stuff.
I think we need a research trip to Port Canaveral.
I don't know about that. I do know the next time I go down, I would like to stay in Titusville. I've never done that. We've always just been like, let's get as close to the port as we can. And, you know, if I'm being completely honest, that Hilton that we mentioned before, the beachfront Hilton, it's expensive. The rooms were beautiful, but the pool is about the size of my kitchen table. And I'm actually not exaggerating with that. It's really, really tiny. Yeah. And you go down there and you're like, I want to, you know, have this resort sort of atmosphere. Mm-hmm. The restaurant there, the little tiki bar restaurant, was good. They definitely had cocktails, which I'm in favor of, and they had some local beers. And they had like gator tail and stuff like that. So they had some Florida, they had conch shell and, you know, conch meat or whatever. And the SpaceX guys were working there. They all had their laptops out getting ready for that launch. That, but I don't, the beach was okay. They advertised that they have a tiki bar on the beach. It's not, it's on their walkway out, their boardwalk, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's really small. I mean, it's like one guy out there with a cooler. Yeah. That looks like,
no, if you're looking for a good tiki bar, actually Mango's is it at the International Palms.
Mm-hmm.
Great restaurant, great food. The guy that waited on us had been there for 20 plus years.
Wow.
And great beer.
So at the International Palms, was that one where you had to walk across the dunes to get to the beach?
You do. Okay. You do. But actually you walk across the parking lot, get to the tiki bar, and then walk through the dunes to get to the beach area. But it was the day we were there, it was absolutely pouring, and we were sitting in the tiki bar, and it was great.
Yeah, see, that's their tiki bar at the Hilton is, it's just a little shed. There's no seating. I mean, there's like four benches. There's four bar stools there, but there's no cover. Mm-hmm. So you're either in the direct sun or getting poured on.
Well, this one was held probably about 200 people, so it was pretty good.
That
stuff.
Would be cool. I would enjoy that. Yeah, I would enjoy that a lot.
I like that they don't have so much build up right on the beach, though, because that is bad for the beach. So,
well, and if we're being honest, the Hilton, you know, yes, it is beachfront. When you look out, you can see the beach, but you are crossing over the dunes. That boardwalk that they have the tiki bar on is very long. It's basically, it's like they put a tiki bar there so that you could rest. Your way out to the beach.
Like, we know you need a drink now.
Yeah, exactly. You made it halfway. Here's your beer. It is. You do have to cross over the dunes. But it is. It's a nice stretch of beach. And if you're a beach person, I think that is a much better choice. If you're a pool person like me, you know, I have not. I have yet to find a hotel in Cocoa Beach that I'm 100% satisfied. Either I love the room and I don't like the pool, or I love the pool and I don't like the room, or I don't like the restaurant. You know, they all have strengths and weaknesses. So it's just.
But you haven't been to the Intercontinental.
You mean the International Palms that she went to? No, There is no Intercontinental there.
I'm thinking of.
No, Miami. I would not recommend necessarily staying there, but the bar is definitely the place to go. Yeah.
So what we're saying is the hotels are affordable.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to say about that.
And that's actually another reason why I'm sort of advocating maybe staying in Titusville. If you're going to stay for a little while, Titusville might be a better choice. A little bit, nicer. And, but it's, you know, Cocoa Beach really, it does seem like they've built up as a stay here for one night and get on a cruise ship for their hotels. That really is their primary business. Yeah. But in Titusville, I think there's a little bit more. I mean, it's a little bit more of a working town. The other thing is Canaveral sort of has seen, I think, and this is just my opinion, but they've seen a bit of a downturn where NASA sort of pulled out almost entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of jobs were lost, people moved away. And then, you know, now it's still running, but it's running with much less staff than it used to. So, you know, the days of I Dream of Jeannie are gone. Yeah.
We had to go there when my husband and I were still dating. We were driving to Disney with a group of us in college, and he lost his wallet in Savannah. Like, we stopped at McDonald's and he lost his wallet and he had no ID, and we had to go to Cocoa Beach to the Air Force Base there.
Oh, because he was in the military at the time. Yeah.
So he could get a new ID. Yeah, that took a whole day out of our vacation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But it made me realize how close it was. I was like, oh, this isn't really that bad.
So if you do have military families, they do have some temporary housing that you can get for people that are cruising out of there, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Now, of course, they have to book that through, you know, the military retirement sites. But yes, there is actually some states, some housing there as well.
That's cool.
Yeah. So overall, I don't want to end on a negative. I mean, I think the hotels are fine, but I think the area is definitely worth visiting, and it's worth making sure that you spend a little extra time there, either at the beginning or the end. We always recommend coming in early, but and enjoying. And so when you're talking to your travel agent about it, talk about what's really important to you, because like I said, you may prefer to choose the resort with a better pool. That where the rooms aren't maybe quite as updated. They'll be clean, but you
might
know,
want the tiki bar.
Right, you might want the tiki bar. So, you might want to be right on the beach, and you know, in that case, it may be worth it to you. Again, if for me, I want a pool, and I could barely see the pool. So I was like,
but if you're somebody who loves the ocean and you know would love surfing and. You know, it's a great place. And, like, you know, like you said, there's a lot of outdoorsy. So if your family tends to be, I just booked it, a family of four there. They're going there in October on kind of their first fall break. They're doing a day in Disney, a couple days in Universal, and then they're driving over and doing a couple days at Cocoa Beach. And
nice.
They are going over to NASA and
to NASA.
And they love... To what?
To the Space Center.
Yeah, to the Space Center, sorry. They are going to the Space Center, and they are outdoorsy folk. Mm-hmm. And they very much, they were down there a few years ago and loved the surfing, you know, loved how much it was on the coast, loved the kayaking through the marshes and that kind of stuff. So for that kind of family, it's an excellent place to stay.
Yeah.
Yep. And it is super cool.
Sure, and if you don't want to do the theme parks, which I've had people contact me and they're like, I want to go to Florida, but I really don't care about going to Disney World or Universal or those kind of places. You can still fly into Orlando relatively inexpensively and then, you know, go do some outdoorsy stuff in Port Canaveral.
Mm-hmm. Yep, head down either coast.
Okay, well, that is our show for today. We welcome your comments and your feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, please visit us at outlandertravel.com, and then click on podcast at the top of the page, and find the episode that you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. So on behalf of Laura, Donna, Elizabeth, and... Sandy and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel. We'll see you next week. We gotta fly.